time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is Almighty. It is by Doug File. Sit back and enjoy.
You ready?
The earth shakes and the heavens fall down rain, but the chains break whenever we hear your name. Your enemies run when they see you come around the way. Your righteous rejoice only because of your grace.
Welcome back, everyone. I hope you enjoyed Almighty by Doug File. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can go to loveministriesbuilds.org and get all of the information about Love Ministries and how to get involved. Well, I want to go right into our interview because I'm looking forward to this conversation today. We are welcoming back Rachel Ann Ridge. Welcome, Rachel.
Oh,
thank you so much for having me. What fun.
Yes, we're so excited. And there's so much for us to catch up with. But I want to remind everyone that Rachel has written several books. She's written Flash. She's written a children's book, Flash the Donkey Makes New Friends. And then we are going to be discussing Walking with Henry today, which is her latest book. And she's got so many other things on the horizon, and we're going to talk about it all. But Rachel is just a wonderful person, a wonderful friend, a great speaker, a wonderful writer, wonderful author. And she has three grown children, right?
I do.
And five grands.
Yes, five, the most precious little people.
That is wonderful. So, Rachel, I would say this is how I describe Rachel. Because after reading your books, no, this is good. This is good. I would say you look at life, you know, very uniquely, and you do a great job of taking probably the things that somebody else would just walk on by and say, that was just, you know, a natural occurrence in my life or something weird, some kind of weird occurrence. But you take it. And you write a beautiful story around it, and a story that delights everyone. Aww. That's Rachel and Rich.
Aww. Well, you know, when you have a donkey that interrupts your life, you do start looking at life just a little bit differently and kind of looking behind the bushes and around corners to see what else does God have for me.
Yeah. That's really cool. So I want to talk about Walking with Henry. I always like to know the backstory. My first question is like, what was the process to writing and creating Walking with Henry?
Oh, well. Well, first of all, we have to say who Henry is.
Yes.
Henry is a miniature donkey who was a rescue donkey that I brought into our home as a companion to Flash, who was my first rescue donkey, who needed a friend because everybody knows that one donkey is not enough.
Right. You got to have
more. And got to have a buddy. And there was quite a story and how Henry came to be with us and how he arrived on our farm. But there were so many lessons leading up to how he came to be part of our lives. Mm-hmm. And then once he became a family member, just him learning how to trust and me deciding that I needed to take some prayer walks in my pasture. And I took this little Henry with me.
Mm-hmm.
There were just so many lessons along the way, and I just began to jot them down. And I remembered from writing Flash to not miss anything, to really be paying attention. And so Walking with Henry is really about learning to walk with God in a deeper way, to moving through those transitions in life that are difficult, moving past the regrets that I know we all have, but I had specific regrets that I was working through. And so Walking with Henry was really my journey toward a deeper kind of faith and a prayer walk.
You know, I really felt like, I don't know, the prayer walking really hit me and really hit me thinking we need to be open to this kind of journey, journeying with the Lord, journeying with ourselves, quietness, stillness, you know, okayness, you know. So have you... You know, the prayer walking. How long have you been prayer walking?
Well, first of all, I do prayer walk when it's not too hot.
Yeah, I know, in Texas, man.
So I am a seasonal prayer walker.
Okay.
But I found myself at a place where I had always had a relationship with the Lord. I had prayed in a certain way. I had no problems coming to the Lord with the deepest parts of my heart and my life. But there were some things that had transpired all of my kids had left.
Yeah.
I had grandbabies coming. I was in a new season of life.
Mm-hmm.
There were things happening in my world that just brought me to a standstill. And suddenly I just found that I had no words left
mm-hmm.
to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like there was just this huge gulf between me and the Lord, and I didn't know how to bridge it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what to do. I was just stuck. And somewhere along the way, somebody had suggested to me that I try reading written prayers or praying
mm-hmm.
written prayers,
mm-hmm.
and they suggested the Book of Common Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in my background, I had no idea what this book was.
Mm-hmm.
I had never even really heard of written prayers. The only thing that I knew in my life was maybe thinking back to my grandfather, who was a Lutheran minister,
mm-hmm.
and how they would recite the creeds
yes.
or pray the Lord's Prayer. But I'd always been kind of warned against those kind of
mm-hmm.
ritualistic
mm-hmm.
Rote prayers,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
anything that smacked of a legalism
mm-hmm.
or traditionalism.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had always really been taught that you have your quiet time, you read and you pray, and that's how you grow.
Right.
But what happens when you just can't pray
mm-hmm.
and when you open the Bible and you don't know, like, where do I even read?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just needed something to get me off of that that square one
right.
that I found myself
right.
back at.
Right.
So when I opened the Book of Common Prayer, first of all, it was really confusing.
Okay.
I was like, where do you even begin?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to do some research
okay.
and found that there are lots of different resources that are available. I found some online apps that
mm-hmm.
really helped me to stay on track to find what were the prayers for the day.
Yeah.
And so and readings, actually. So
right.
you have so I found myself stepping into a stream of prayer that was already happening all around the world,
mm-hmm.
that had been happening
mm-hmm.
for centuries, that
yeah.
people who loved the Lord and who believed in Him were praying these prayers, and they were continuing to pray. That was like a mighty rushing stream, and I could just step right into it and
right.
let it carry me.
Right.
I didn't have to expect to have a great epiphany every
mm-hmm.
time I sat down. I could just enter in, and it was the thing that unlocked my spiritual life and
mm-hmm.
and gave me words to pray and to express when I didn't have any of
mm-hmm.
my own.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the beginning. And then, of course, I added to that prayer walking,
yes.
taking these prayers
yes.
out into the pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And by stepping outside of my living room, out, off of my couch, out of my bed,
right.
but out into the yard, out into creation where I could feel the breeze and hear the trees and listen to the birds and really meet with my Creator.
Yeah.
It was just a powerful combination of the prayers and then experiencing God in His very creation.
Right. You know what? The thing that I like about what you said is sometimes we never step outside unless we're on vacation
right, right.
or something like that. When we're thinking of, yes, I want to go to
right.
the beach and I want to, you know, spend some time with the Lord, and
right.
that's where I'm going to go and just sit and be at peace and be at rest. But this is kind of a turn on that.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally
mm-hmm.
saying, even at my home, I am going to go out and I'm going to experience nature and I'm going to experience
mm-hmm.
God and I'm going to connect with Him, which is really, to me, reminds me of spiritual practice.
Yes.
And
yes.
that it's okay to plan that time.
Right.
In fact, I think we need to plan that time. Our
right.
spiritual practices, they need to be planned and they need to be on purpose so that they'll happen.
Right.
You know?
right. No, that's so true. See, and I had never even heard the term spiritual practice
mm-hmm.
or spiritual discipline.
Mm-hmm.
In the tradition in which I grew up, we just really looked askance at anything like
right,
that.
Right,
and
right.
you know, maybe there's some reasons. We don't want to depend on you know, a ritual or something and thinking that that alone is going to bring us to God. But mm-hmm. there is something that forms us spiritually when we dedicate that time or we say, I'm going to step out into my yard or take a walk in the park or go to the mountains or go to the beach. Yes. And intentionally meet my Creator mm-hmm. and look at the things that He has created and ask myself, what does this reveal mm-hmm. about our mighty mm-hmm. God? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you step outside, just look at the myriad of leaves and then and the kinds of animals and the kinds of things that He's created. You see someone who is just generous and exuberant and abundant. Mm-hmm. And I mean, so many of these things are just unnecessarily beautiful.
Right, right.
And this is what our God has created. Mm-hmm. And so even that can be a spiritual practice. Mm-hmm. And I never knew that. I just thought I was just enjoying being outside. But when you learn that that can be something that intentionally brings you into a connection with God, it's very, very powerful. And I think us as city dwellers, mm-hmm. suburbanites, mm-hmm. we're driving in our car mm-hmm. and we kind of see the outside as like, oh, the heat, oh, the cold, oh, the bugs, mm-hmm. you know, everything.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We are annoyed by all that stuff outside. Right, we want to be in a environment that we can control the temperature mm-hmm. exactly. Mm-hmm. And when you're outside, you're not in control.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And
we
are,
need that.
So we have to observe mm-hmm. and we can experience mm-hmm. A different kind of reality.
Yes. So I know two women from our church. They'll go on a prayer walk like after dinner, after mm-hmm. their family is engaged in some other things. They go on prayer walks, take pictures. And post on Facebook and just post like the conversation that they had about the Lord when they saw this, you know, when out in prayer. And they live in the city.
Yes.
So you don't have to live in the country. You know, they live in the city and just do that. And I thought this is wonderful. I mean, this mm-hmm. is like, I don't know, intentionally slowing your life down so that you can see what is the Lord saying to me.
Right.
And then when I see something and when I see His creation, what does that say about His love for me?
Right.
If He spent that much time creating something beautiful that is just, you know, growing on a tree,
right?
How much more did He do?
The care and the design, the intentionality to create you in a uniquely special way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
So let's talk about silence. That's another thing that mm-hmm. is scary, mm-hmm. you know, to us. It's scary for us. What are my thoughts going to do when I say I'm going to create some time to be silent with the Lord? What does it do for you to incorporate silence into your prayer walks?
Well, we all live in such busy, chaotic lives. Mm-hmm. Everything is clamoring for our attention. You know, I even notice, like, when you watch Netflix, I mean, those credits start rolling mm-hmm. and it says your next episode is mm-hmm. going to start in 4, 3, 2, 1. I mean, you don't even have time to get up and get a little bowl of ice cream in between.
Right.
You know, it's just on to the next thing. So mm-hmm. there's very little time for silence. Our lives are not built in for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I began thinking about how the Bible was written over, you know, thousands of years by people who mainly lived outside. They lived according to the seasons. Mm-hmm. They cooked outside. Mm-hmm. They lived mm-hmm. outside. Mm-hmm. So the natural world was very much a part of everything that they lived and breathed and wrote.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible was written basically outside, you know, by people who lived outside and experienced great quiet. When mm-hmm. the sun goes down, you know, life kind of stops. Mm-hmm. You don't have electric lights and air conditioning and things mm-hmm. to kind of keep life going at night. And mm-hmm. so they had vast spaces of silence. Yes. And I think that our lives are really missing that. Mm-hmm. I think science even tells us that silence is good for our brains, that we need our brains actually do better. They are more healthy when we have moments of silence, so that a subconscious that's working in the background can be solving problems or be mulling or be thinking or meditating. So we do have to actively seek out silence. Yeah. And I'm reminded about, I believe it was Job, you know, who God wasn't in the whirlwind. Mm-hmm. He wasn't in the fire, you know, but he was in a still small voice. And it's hard to hear a still small voice when we're just going from one thing to the next thing to the next thing. And there's so much going on. So for me, sometimes finding pockets of silence is in my car. I'll turn off the radio and literally drive in silence. And I'd use that time to think or to mull things over or even to pray or sing out loud. So, you know, even our modern lives, we can find time that we can be silent when we turn off the TV, turn off our social media, and just experience silence.
Yeah, and you know, I've learned about silence is that we don't even have to have an expectation to receive anything in silence. It's okay to sit and to be with the Lord.
Yes,
and I know that. You know, just as your earthly family and your earthly friends, they enjoy being with you, being, you know, companions for you. And there are so many times that, yes, maybe no words are spoken, but just us being in the same room means that we are communing and being together. And if we can think that way about the Lord, like he just desires that time. He just loves us like that and wants that time together with us. And silence can be great. Just, you know, don't put too much pressure on yourself and don't put too much pressure on the situation. Just sit and be with the Lord. And that's okay.
Yeah. I think that's so good. Sometimes we'll just imagine, you know, if Jesus was in the room with me, you know, like if he was sitting on the chair next to me, you know, what would that look like? What that companionable silence? Mm-hmm. But you don't have to have a great beam of light or angels singing every time, but just to sit and know that he is as close as every breath. He is with us, and he is with you, and there's nothing to fear in that silence.
That's wonderful. There's nothing to fear in that silence. The Lord is gracious and loving, and sometimes our brains have a lot of trouble taking that in. And I know that we can only understand just a little bit of that, but if we can think of our Heavenly Father as someone who really desires, really maybe craves, you know, craves that time with us, that it's, and it can be time that we, you know, press the restart button. Let me just sit quietly with you in silence, Lord. And I'm going to press my restart button. You know, just for a little bit, and then I'll get back to my day. That can be something that really fills us up in a way with joy and with peace, the things that we need, like you said, in this world with so much, you know, coming
at us.
Oh, that's
such an encouragement.
So I want to talk about praying continually and, you know, what scripture even really means when it says our definition of continuously, I think, is probably different from what the Lord meant.
You think?
With that scripture. So we're going to talk about that, and then we'll talk more about walking with Henry. Well, we'll be back in just a minute.
Every heart, every woman.
listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. We're having a great conversation with Rachel Ann Ridge, the author of Walking with Henry. And so we're so excited to have Rachel back on the show. Rachel is big time, y'all. So we're upgrading the show with Rachel.
Yeah, big fish in a really tiny pond.
No. So, Rachel, I wanted to talk about, we want to get back into praying continuously. That's what we said we would talk about, but I always change it when we come back.
Throwing me a curveball.
Let's talk about Henry and Flash.
Oh, yeah.
So, Flash came on the scene first.
Yes, he did.
And he showed up at your house. And he, and so you wrote the first book about Flash.
Yes.
And you and your husband had just come back home from working.
Right.
And Flash was there. And Flash was obstinate.
Right.
He wouldn't like.
Right. So we have to explain to your listeners that we live out in the country.
Yes,
so,
you do.
I mean.
Both of us do, actually.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, I think people are familiar with maybe having a stray cat or
right.
a stray dog show up on their doorstep.
Right.
But this was a stray donkey.
Rachel gets
the
stray
big
donkeys.
Ears.
Yes.
Yeah. And we both had to just rub our eyes for a minute. You know, my husband hit the brakes and we looked. It was late at night. We were coming home from a job that we were very, very discouraged, really mm-hmm. had hit the bottom with our business that was a creative art business, and
right.
we were just feeling the weight of that great recession mm-hmm. that was about mm-hmm. upon us. And mm-hmm. and lo and behold, this donkey shows up literally out of the blue after I had literally just breathed a prayer. I had it was one of those prayers, you know, that you just kind of the sigh escapes your mm-hmm, lips, and mm-hmm. I was just like, oh God, please just do something.
Mm-hmm.
And not 2 moments later, my husband's hitting the brakes and there's this donkey in the
yes,
road.
Yes.
And so I was, when I was thinking, God, do something, I was thinking of like a miracle, you know, cache of money showing
right.
up on the doorstep,
right.
or, you know, something extraordinary, not a shaggy donkey.
Right.
But it was really God knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I needed
yeah.
because what I needed was wisdom and encouragement mm-hmm. and something out there that just reminded me that God was with me every step of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so that began the journey with Flash, and I ended up writing a book that has just gone far and wide
yes.
and just encouraged people, hilarious stories
yes.
and things that entertained myself, but also just made for a really fun read.
Mm-hmm.
And Walking with Henry happened when we knew that Flash needed a companion.
Yes.
Donkeys should not yes. be alone.
Yes.
And so we went looking for this little companion and wound up with this little guy who was at a shelter for donkeys.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there really are
shelters for donkeys.
There is a donkey facility
okay.
out in West Texas.
Okay.
And out of a sea of 1,000 donkeys that
mm-hmm.
needed homes, we got this little guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was found in Henderson County, Texas.
Okay.
He was with a group of like 20 donkeys. He was logged in as number 10 in
okay.
the Henderson County
okay.
Sheriff's Register. And so we kept his name, Henderson number 10.
Okay.
We call him Henry. For short.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it.
I do call him by his full name when he's in trouble. Henderson
okay.
number 10, you get over here. As we do with our kids. But, you know, when you get a rescue animal, you don't know what their past is, mm-hmm. what they've experienced, mm-hmm. the ways that they need to learn to trust you. Mm-hmm. And so it was with Henry. He was about 7 or 8 when we got him. We had no idea of what he had experienced. And so I had thought that it would be simple. We'll just put him out in the pasture with Flash. They will be instant buddies. Right. They're both donkeys. They'll love each other. It will be happily ever after. Mm-hmm. Well, let me tell you, it was not happily ever after. It took probably 3 years
oh, wow.
for them to really bond and become friends. And then teaching Henry that he could trust me, that he could, that I wouldn't harm him mm-hmm. in any way, that mm-hmm. I would provide for him and mm-hmm. take care of him, to me was really just a picture of exactly where I was in my own spiritual walk. Mm. I was at a place where I didn't know if I could really trust God mm-hmm. anymore. Mm-hmm. After a lifetime of easy faith, mm-hmm. suddenly I was just in uncharted territories. I was anxious about the future. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if God was with me. I couldn't feel him. I couldn't hear him. I didn't know if he was going to provide for mm-hmm. me. I had such regrets over decisions I had made, things that I had done really that even had brought Henry to me. I had made a terrible mistake that put people's lives at risk and caused the death of another companion animal mm-hmm. that we had for mm-hmm. Flash. And that had brought up a whole host of feelings and anxieties within me that I didn't know how to give that over to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And so having an animal that didn't know if he could trust me helped me walk through that experience as well.
Yes.
So
I'm thinking that Henry was kind of like a tangible example for you of a spiritual walk that you were
exactly
on, that you were experiencing.
Well, you know, and speaking of walking, so I had this great idea. I thought, I'm going to walk outside. Mm-hmm. I'm going to take my prayers outside in the pastures mm-hmm. that my husband had mowed these paths for me, and I'll get a halter on this adorable little donkey and put a lead on him, and we'll walk around the pasture mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. and it'll be, you know, kind of killing two birds with one stone, you know.
Right,
he'll get to learn to walk and trust me, and I'll do my prayers, and I'll be outside. And so the very first day, I put a halter on him, put a lead on him, and I said, "Walk on, Henry. Walk on." Mm-hmm. Now, "walk on" is a command that you give to a donkey that tells them that they need to step forward and follow your lead. You give them a little tug.
Right.
You let them know. Maybe you have a little treat with you to reinforce this mm-hmm. command to mm-hmm. walk on. Well, Henry, instead of stepping forward, he began to pivot mm-hmm. one step at a time, slowly, 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 until his rear end mm-hmm. was facing the direction that I wanted him to go, mm-hmm. and his head was facing behind us. Mm-hmm. And then he slowly stuck one foot out backwards, and then another foot. And here, there I am in the heat. I'm sweating with a donkey that's walking backwards.
Right,
and I'm like,
right.
"Lord, this is going to take forever." And that picture of trying to walk a donkey who's mm-hmm. facing the wrong mm-hmm. direction, mm-hmm. just, it hit me like a ton of bricks. That this is exactly where I am in my own spiritual mm-hmm. life. It was like God was saying, "Walk on, Rachel, mm-hmm. walk on. Mm-hmm. You can mm-hmm. do it.
Let's keep going.
I'm not
going
to hurt you." Yeah. And I'm wanting to follow, mm-hmm. but unsure if it's safe and don't know where he's leading. So instead of just walking headfirst in all that God has for me, mm-hmm. I turn and slowly pivot, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I'm looking at everything that I'm leaving behind, mm-hmm. and slowly, slowly, slowly making my way in the direction that God wants for
right.
me to go.
Right, right.
And it took so long for Henry to learn that he didn't have to back into mm-hmm. the direction. Mm-hmm. He mm-hmm. could turn and face fully, and he could trust me. And when I said, walk on, mm-hmm. walk on, little donkey, mm-hmm. he knew that I wouldn't be leading him someplace dangerous
yes.
or someplace harmful,
yes.
but that there was going to be joy in the journey, that no matter what was ahead, I had my hand on the lead, I had my hand on his little back, mm-hmm. and we could walk forward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a picture of really how we are beckoned, we are invited to follow along to
right.
where God is leading.
Right.
For me, it was to step out, to leave some of my forms of prayer
mm-hmm.
and some of the things that I thought I had to hang on to in my own faith and set everything down. In fact, I was at a point where I said, I'm gonna put everything on the table except
mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Hmm.
I'm going to hang on to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to look in the scripture and see what is absolutely necessary for my faith and what can I let go.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that there were lots of things that I thought were, man, I gotta believe this. I gotta
mm-hmm.
stand on this.
Right,
I have to
right.
do it this way.
Right.
That I could let go. That wasn't helping me necessarily.
Yes.
That there were maybe other forms of prayer, maybe other forms of worship. Maybe there was another body of believers that had a different tradition than
mm-hmm.
what I was used
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm.
And my goodness, look at they're
yes.
connecting with God
yes.
in ways that I found completely unexpected.
Right.
But I had to let go, and I had to turn and let the things that I was hanging on to in the past just let it fall behind me and turn
yeah.
and face fully
yeah.
into the path that
yeah.
God had
yeah.
for me.
That is beautiful, Rachel.
Well, it just took a little donkey from West Texas to show me.
Yes, yeah.
And I think, you know, the Bible is filled with stories and parables and word pictures. And some of them are hard for us to really relate to, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that life, that Bible times
yes.
life is
yes.
so far removed from us. And so for me, it really took something tangible that I was working through with this donkey to
yes.
get him to trust
yes.
me, for
yes.
me to be able to see, oh, this is what Jesus is talking about
yeah.
when he's saying, you
yes.
know, the lilies of the field, they don't worry, they don't toil. I take care of them.
Mm-hmm.
The little birds, the little creatures, the little children, come unto me,
yes.
all you that labor and are heavy laden. Take my yoke upon you
yes.
and learn from me. I'm not going to put anything heavy or ill-fitting
yeah.
on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can learn from me, learn my rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
This is what a little donkey that God put into my life showed me. And really, I think that the bigger picture that the book is about, yes, there's great stories about
yes.
a cute little donkey
yes,
and,
yes.
and they're fun and will make you laugh. But hopefully, as people read, their eyes will leave the page and look at the circumstances in their own
mm-hmm.
lives and say, how is God reaching out to me through
yes.
this hard thing that I'm going through, this transition that I didn't ask for,
right.
maybe a diagnosis that you didn't expect, or a disappointment, a marriage that hasn't gone
mm-hmm.
in the way that
mm-hmm.
you wanted it to, a grown child who's chosen to walk away.
Mm-hmm.
The list is endless, the things that we don't choose, and we find ourselves in a really uncomfortable place, and
yes.
we're like, God, where are you
yes.
in the midst of all of this? And I believe that what he's saying to our heart is, walk on.
Yes.
Walk on, little one. Yes. I'm not going to hurt you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be right here by your side. You can step forward into what I have for you. There's nothing to be afraid of. Don't be afraid of the silence or the transition or the time that you feel uncomfortable or you don't know what the future holds. Mm-hmm. I'm there with you the whole time.
Amen.
And it's such an encouragement that no matter where we are, and I think that that brings us to that I'm praying continually.
Yes.
And recognizing that God is near us, mm-hmm. that He is in our very breath, mm-hmm. that He is mm-hmm. as near as our breath.
Yes.
And that everything that we do, whether it's scrubbing the toilets and washing the dishes and all those things that are, just get so tired of doing, or doing our jobs and pushing papers mm-hmm. and answering emails, that all of those things can be done as a prayer and as a way of worship, if we just simply take a moment to acknowledge that, God, I'm just going to do this as unto you and let my life be an expression of your presence mm-hmm. and your spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we become a continual prayer unto him.
Yes, yeah. I think, you know, sometimes, you know, people are like, well, only ministry work is prayer and is done as an act of worship before the Lord. But I've just learned that our everyday work, service to someone else, even like you said, pushing paper, that is in service of someone else.
Right.
You know, you're in a job and it's your, you know, responsibility to look over this stuff and make sure it's right and make sure it's formatted right and all of the figures and facts and, you know, are there. And then you got to pass it on to the next person. Well, that's in service of someone else.
Right.
That is the work that you are putting your hands to, whether you are feeling fulfilled at the moment by that work or not. That is the work for this season of life that God has called you to do. And I think we're all stuck in that wonder, well, am I in the right spot, or should I scoot over two steps, and, you know, or should I go backwards? Well, where you are, God is good with you right there.
Right.
And it's okay to do your work with a mind of, I'm doing this in service of someone else, so God calls this good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. So good.
Yes.
That's so good.
I'm good with him. He's good with me. And so sometimes, like you said, the drudgery, we can allow that to be lifted off of us if we are thinking, okay, you know what? This work, I may not be doing this in a year, but I'm doing it right now.
Right.
So this work is good. And I'm helping someone else, and I'm pleasing the Lord with my life. And so I'm going to do this as my act of worship and live my life as a prayer unto the Lord, so we can live into that, pray continuously.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
I, you know, even this summer, I am working on a project that has kept me, it's a wonderful project. Mm-hmm. It's an art project. I'm working on illustrating a book, but I am by myself mm-hmm. in my studio mm-hmm. day after day after day, mm-hmm. and it feels like a very small life.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very small.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interacting with people. I'm not actively, you know, giving or serving in some
mm-hmm.
way.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some moments where I've thought, what am I doing? Like, I should be doing more. I should be serving in some big way.
Mm-hmm.
And just like you said, just having that mindset of saying, I'm just going to put my whole heart into this and do this as an act of worship and let the chips fall where they may.
Yes.
Let God do what he will with my small life, with mm-hmm. my small mm-hmm. Offering.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't know. You don't know. God puts you in a place for a time,
right.
And we just are called to be faithful and to just do what's in front of us to do, because you never know when your path will cross somebody that you are in the grocery store or at a red light or, interacting at an office or whatever. But if we see that our lives are, we're a conduit for the Spirit of advocacy,
yes.
of peace and joy, whatever the Spirit of the Lord is, that
yes.
we are His presence in the midst of all of
yes.
that situation
yes.
that we find ourselves in, well, then we're exactly where we are supposed to be.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. And that more, you know, that'll attack us. That will beat us down. And I hadn't really thought about it until you said it. It just kind of rang in my head when you said, you know, oh, I should be doing more.
Oh, yeah.
That will beat us down. and we'll have so much on our plate that we can't, finish one task. Because we are requiring more of ourselves in a season, even when maybe the Lord isn't saying.
Yeah. No, that's so true. That's so true. You know, not to bring the conversation back to donkeys or anything,
No. Come on.
But I do think that it's worth noting that Jesus chose to ride a donkey
yes.
on the most important
yes.
ride of his life.
Amen.
To his coronation.
Mm-hmm.
He picked a donkey,
mm-hmm.
a young donkey that had never been ridden before.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about donkeys, a donkey that's never been ridden before is going to need his mama to go ahead of him and show him that it's going to be okay. To me, it's like, wow, Jesus didn't even pick a professional donkey, right? He picked one that was most likely to screw up,
mm-hmm.
to balk, to be afraid. I mean, if you walk with a donkey, you know they are going to stop. If there's people waving branches
mm-hmm.
and putting things down in front of the way, a donkey
mm-hmm.
is not going to step over that at all. So there is a really high probability that this ride was going to end in a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this is what the means that Jesus chose for that important ride.
Yes.
So a donkey carried Jesus into the world, not only as a little baby, but also going to his coronation on Calvary.
Yes.
And I think maybe that's one reason that I relate so much to being a donkey, because
mm-hmm.
we're all really donkeys,
yes,
aren't we?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
We feel like
she's
living in a horse
in a
world that's made for shiny horses, and
right,
we're the donkey,
right?
But we carry Jesus into the world.
Yes.
We are tasked with an important task,
yes.
and what that looks like is service. It looks
yes.
like trust.
Yes.
It looks like just taking one step in front of the other.
Yes.
And that's what Jesus calls us to do. And that picture just puts everything into perspective,
yes.
that we are here to serve.
Yes.
We're not here to be the shiny horse on a, with the gleaming flags flying and all of that. But a dusty donkey carries Jesus. And that
yes.
I can do.
Yeah.
I can
yeah.
do that
yeah.
as I'm
yeah, yeah,
scrubbing
yeah.
dishes,
right.
as I'm
right.
Doing the mundane tasks that fill my life.
Mm-hmm.
We do it in service to Jesus,
yes.
and we carry him forward, and that's what the world sees.
Yes, yeah, that is wonderful. Well, Rachel, I hate to say it, but we are out of time.
No.
I can't fathom where all the time went. So, Rachel, give us your website so that we can know, because your books are available everywhere.
Sure, yeah.
Your website is?
RachelAnnRidge.com.
All right.
And you can find the books there. And if you want to go to RachelAnnRidge.com/liturgy,
mm-hmm.
I've got some downloadable prayers that
yes.
can help you if you
yes.
want to take some written prayers, maybe go outside, sit on a chair, or do something that can just help you get started. If you're feeling stuck in your prayer life, that might be just the key to unlock the door for you to walk through and just open up the communication between you and the Lord.
Yeah, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, Rachel, thank you so very much. I'm already like, okay, when can she come back? So when can we have another conversation?
I have to write another book.
Yes, you can have me come back. Do that. So everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org for all of the great information about Love Ministries. You can also go to our website, ehewradio.com. Follow us on social media as well. Everyone, we want you to have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.
Every heart, every woman.
Mm-hmm.